Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? It is Truth Bomb Tony fortnight. Once a fortnight, I speak to Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital, who has some fairly strong views about the market, how to invest, what to do, what not to do, and the occasional truth bomb thrown in. So, Tony, great to see you. And let's start with this. I want to go back to basics for a minute before we get into where things are going, because right now, I think that there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of volatility. I mean, we've seen that with the gold price shooting up, shooting back, shooting up, shooting back. Same with a lot of commodities. And I think there's a bit of confusion. So I want to start this fortnight's chat by saying, from your point of view, Tony, what are the fundamentals? What are the fundamentals that investors need to look for when they're parting with their very hard-earned cash?
Great question. And I mean, this is an area where I've gained a lot of experience, Kerry, where it's mainly about the psychology, about being able to hold on to a small company that has solid fundamentals. And what a rising gold price does, it kind of clouds the fundamentals and the reason why you're there in the first place. Because often when gold touched $2,000, I get calls from people saying, well, why aren't my gold juniors moving? Let's face it, we're nowhere near a junior gold stock bubble, and will only start once people become greedy again, and then they tell their mates at a barbecue, social distance barbecue, and then people want to make money, they want to make the quick buck. So we're nowhere near a gold bubble. And then when the price of gold corrects, as it will during these uncertain times, the stock gets sold off. So I think that severe gold price volatility isn't your friend. I think it's a threat. And this is where, you know, I liken speculation to getting a Greyhound bus between New York and LA and you go through the Bible Belt, right? It all depends on when you decide to get off that bus. Can you bask on the beach of Santa Monica, or do you get chucked off in a two-bit town with a single girl on a pole? That's how I liken speculation. And all this madness in the world is throwing you off, and it happens all the time because hindsight and getting that warm and fuzzy feeling of getting it right next time doesn't pay the private school bills or to fill a tank full of petrol, which is probably going to cost you $200 soon.
Oh yeah, Tony. We'll go on to energy in a minute, but what you're saying there, I believe, Tony, if I unpack that a little bit, is the fundamentals are investing is if you've got a good company, like stop looking at the think prices going up and analyze it. If it is a good company that has a strong investment thesis that you feel is where you should park your money, don't jump in and out of it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And I was just saying to my partner half an hour ago, geez, I'd like to walk away from my portfolio and come back in 3 years' time with an automatic trigger to sell a portion when one of my stocks 5, 10 bags or 20 times in between. The problem is people are stuck here refreshing their phones. You know, the average person touches their phone 150 times a day. Can you imagine a mad punter? So look, what has really confused the issue is there's a lot of, I call them fugazis. There's a lot of fake industries that have developed. There's a lot of worthless investments. And people are moving to these in the hope of getting rich. And they're becoming gambling addicts.
Yeah.
So what I do, yeah, I have this saying that music always gets back to guitar, bass and drums with a bit of keyboard. Shout out to the Foo Fighters who played Geelong, bringing back entertainment. But speculation always gets to basics. And what I've felt over the last few days is There's now pride in buying a junior company as to flicking it 5, 10, 20 times a week and ending up with a shit ton of CHESS statements, which are about as useful as an appendix.
So are you saying, Tony, that a lot of people at the moment are buy, sell? They're not sticky. They're just getting in and out, trying to chase the next potential 10-bagger, but they don't actually know what they're investing in. Is that what you're saying?
Well, a lot of speculators, to be honest, couldn't hold an old lady's hand crossing the street. They can't wait till their two-minute noodles takes 5 minutes to cook. There is a lot of weird stuff going on at the open and the close of the market. I see stocks that are getting sold down 10% on $200 worth, and then suddenly there's a follow-through. So at the moment, the market action is telling me that my 20 stocks, which I've selected, I'm completely wrong. But that's only a handful of shareholders per stock. Buyers then start to feel bad about their investments. So I've actually thought about creating some videos on how one person selling can cause a chain reaction to throw someone off their stocks. It's just all part of the cycle. Fortunately, I've learned to listen to people, to read people, to know that in a couple of years' time, I'm going to be selling these stocks for 3, 5, 10 times what I paid for them. It just nothing, this time isn't different. Admittedly, the theme is Russia invading Ukraine. We've got a global pandemic where, you know, it's been relaxed. International travel is starting to open up. So there's always a theme as to why markets are rising and falling. But basically, speculation investment hasn't changed since the 1600s, apart from fashion and hairstyles.
So, Tony, do you think everybody should calm the farm and go into stocks that they believe in and stop chasing their tails?
Well, people can't do that. They'd rather get a tip off a porn star on Twitter or a mate online who knows a mate whose second cousin's dog owns a stock. They do not want to put the hard work in. They do not want to do research. They do not want to go to conferences when they're able to. And all they're there is to dick around with small cap stocks, not realising what they had. And in 2 years' time, wondering, well, why the hell did I sell it? It's the same thing.
That's not our audience, Tony. That's not our audience because they listen to you, they're on small caps, they're doing their research and they're figuring it out. So our audience, in my opinion, is a lot smarter than that. So where I want to go with this now is, what are you seeing out there? Last time we spoke, very strong on the gold price. I still am. I think 2022 is going to be a very good year for gold and gold stocks. But gold stocks take a little bit longer to play the catch-up game, always have done, and so too with the gold price in amongst volatile times. So I'm still conscious of that. But you mentioned energy a minute ago. You mentioned filling up your car. Do you think the oil and gas sector is potentially a good opportunity?
Well, the opportunity has passed. Woodside was absolutely belted. And now it's recovered strongly. There was one junior stock, Melbana, code MAY, which I've watched for some time, that's just made, by the looks, a decent discovery off Cuba. I might have got that wrong, so people are welcome to correct me. But the thing that might affect oil now is how well are these peace talks going? So there's rumours going, news saying that they're making progress, supplies, oil at $300 a barrel. Again, you're playing a more volatile version of gold. So, yeah, it might be some more upside in Woodside, but a lot of oil companies that are drilling, the chances of failure are extremely high.
What about gas? Do you put that in the same basket?
Again, we've only really got the larger companies. Yep. We are going to have certainly some issues. The market does rely on new discoveries, which there haven't been plentiful. But again, you're trading this overwhelming volatility with prices. And I think you know, unless you're going to go into something more solid, you're going to get a sore neck and you're going to have lots of wins and losses. So, you know, if I'm playing gold, I play the company and the commodity precious metal run. I think it's an added bonus. But, you know, you look at all the charting on Twitter on the gold price, it's off its face.
What do you mean by that?
It's everyone's trying to chart it like they're trying to chart 13,000 worthless cryptos. There are cryptos that are worth something, but the majority of them are worthless. So everyone's suddenly a chartist, and I think the key to making money is to become hooked on fundamentals and become an accumulator. It all stems back to the test, the marshmallow test you take as a four-year-old. Can you wait for another marshmallow? If you can, you've got a chance of being an accumulator. And that's exactly what I'm trying to instill in my children. Become an accumulator. Don't become someone who's flashy.
All right. So one of the things we've spoken about in the past is two more things I want to talk about this time. The first one is we spoke about the oil price rising, potentially where that's going, who the heck knows. But given that energy and energy costs are going up, supply is required, do you like the uranium space at the moment? And do you think uranium will ever become mainstream as an energy source?
Well, there's quite massive debates on Australia and why we're not going to take the uranium energy route. To me, that's probably too negative. But it's all based on Fukushima and Chernobyl,
yeah,
and this other nuclear site, which is threatening an environmental disaster in Europe. So I think uranium is miles off in this country, that we do have a lot of resources, and the clever executives in Australia have been able to get almost 10 times their share price on highlighting their in-ground resources. The interesting part of that, Kerry, was that my clients were able to make 8 to 10 times their money, and on a longer-term basis, the uranium price did jack.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, we are out of the uranium sector. I do have some clients clinging on to their Elevate, but we've moved on. So what I'm doing now is looking at individual companies into a market that becomes investment driven and not investing, speculating on fugazis.
I love it. I love the word fugazis. Now, Tony, it would be rude if I didn't just bring this up because it's Australia and we're obsessed with the P word, property. Last time, you and I have got a bet on interest rates and property. Am I going to win?
No. No, pretty much.
Tony, of course I am.
Well, pretty much we are 1%, give or take, behind New Zealand. I've just gone through a lot of research, thrown in a bit of psychology. I think one day the Daily Telegraph, which is a source of good financial information, is going to run the front page, no longer the million-dollar city. So the Sydney median price is going to go below $1 million. My target is $860,000,
okay,
which is still massively expensive. I just think that it's been a NASDAQ-style blow-off around the end of the dot-com bubble. That's what you're saying. So I think, look, I lost the bet to Kukulis. I think COVID cost me that bet. But can you imagine a whole generation of people that have become lotto millionaires by sitting on their backsides?
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome is that?
Are you talking about this change in the property market? Because I completely disagree with you. I think that my view is, if you look back over history, the property markets have never crashed. They've corrected a little bit and gone up, correct a little bit, gone up. If you look way, way, way back, there's never been a massive crash. What's different? I know you're going to say this time it's different. What's different?
Well, if you look at the price to income ratio of 17 times, it's like Sydney houses are priced like the Nikkei in 1989. It's absurd. Wages aren't keeping up. I know the people are about to get an extra $18 a fortnight in their pension. No, you tend to have price to income ratios around 6 to 7 tops. Sydney 17 into a higher interest rate environment. So, and the amount of over leveraging is frightening. And that last speculative blow off, you're going to lose pretty much all of that. And there's an Irish economist called Morgan Kelly. I implore people to look up his debate with Jim Power. Morgan's researched every housing boom in the OECD, and 70% of the gains are wiped out. So
what was the name again?
Morgan Kelly. He was laughed off pretty much in his debate with Jim Power. He said prices in Ireland will halve. That's what I'm saying now for Sydney. And I say that with conviction. There's no upside catalyst left at all. And I found it quite humorous. The Northern Beaches of Sydney, median price at 2.6 million. And I think DY became an Olympic swimming pool last week, didn't it?
Or the week before. Yes, it did. Yeah, Narrabeen, DY, French's Forest.
Yeah. But
are you saying that this will happen this year or at some point in the future? I think our bet was this year.
Oh, for interest rates, yeah, at 0.5%. So that's a bowl of verve I'll gladly take. Well, it's going to take a while to unwind. So you are going to have gradual selling. And then the boomers, you know, just say Kevin from Kellyville wants to sell his house that's $1 million overvalued, then other people in that street might want to sell as well. There's not going to be enough buyers. And I think there was a story in the Telegraph where we had had a police officer, teacher, and I think it was a nurse. These people cannot afford to live in Sydney on their wages. That's ridiculous. For the 50th time, I was a cop in Bondi. I bought a unit for 115 grand. That's now trading at 1.2 million. You need essential service workers to be able to live in the area where they work. It's out of kilter. And I think future economic students and aliens are going to laugh at us and think how stupid we were, because you don't feel as stupid when you're in a bubble, but when it bursts, you look back. So, look, I think it's going to gradually unwind. As I said, I've already predicted the cover of the Daily Telegraph, and it's still expensive at those levels, and that's what frightens me, Kerry. I just think Australia is going to hit dark times on an economic basis. We haven't had really much social unrest yet. No. A lot of these outer western suburbs of Sydney are going to turn into ghettos eventually.
All right, well, Tony and I completely disagree on this one, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll see who comes out with the bottle of Verve later this year. Tony, it is volatile out there. The share market, do you think that that's going to do the same as the property market, or because of so much liquidity coming into the market from various ways that that's going to continue to be strong?
Well, at this point, I've got about 200 grand of my own money saying that the indices are massively overpriced. So I stick with that. I went out and bought quite a lot of BBUS at
$8.67. Okay.
I believe that these markets in the largest stocks are prime for falls. I also note that a lot of my stocks have already broken down. A lot of individual companies throw their own tantrums. So probably some more downside in my core portfolio. Sorry to say that to my clients. You probably want to punch me in the nose. But I think it's going to be a slow grind down with the odd 1,000-point loss on the Dow. I think it's coming. So strap
yourself
in.
Do you think it's coming across the board, or given the oil price going up, given the and even if Russia and Ukraine work it all out, there is still an electric revolution happening. So do you think that certain, I mean, are we in a commodity super cycle because there's this great changeover from not just electric vehicles, but solar panels, batteries on your home, electric vehicles, so that the supply-demand equation for things like copper, cobalt, nickel, lithium even, dare I say it, will still be there. And so certain parts of the, you might see some of the market in, say, tech stocks, REITs, things like that will come off. But potentially maybe resources is the place to be because you've got to put it somewhere and putting it in the bank ain't going to be much fun.
Oh, I agree, Kerry. There's going to be some huge winners, but 90% of these companies are bandwagon jumpers who are just bringing in a dodgy project in a dodgy country to get a lift in the share price. People are going to be able to work out shit from champagne, and that takes years if you sit there and do it by yourself.
All right, so what they should be doing is reaching out if they don't want to do the homework. And I guess this is the lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen, and that is you've got to look at the fundamentals, but you've also got to know what you're talking about. And you're not, we don't want you to take a tip from, you know, Uncle Joe across the barbecue on a Sunday. We want you to go out and do your research. Now, I know that most of you out there are really smart and you do your own research, which is fantastic. But some people are busy. They've got families, they've got things going on. So the other side is you get, you reach out to someone like Tony and say, right, you do the work, you do the research, and then come back and let me know. But then ultimately it is up to you. And as always, I say, this is not financial advice. You have to do your own research on top of what Tony's saying. Final word to you, Tony, before we finish up this week.
Well, I need to apologise. I had overwhelming interest in the finance courses I'm about to write. I've had something come up on a personal basis, so I'm going to have to push that back a month. So I have responded to everyone. I do have some things to deal with, but I want to give this 100%. And the response to these videos has been overwhelming. And I am meeting a lot of people that do have the right attitude, but don't have the time. So I've got small capacity, Kerry, but again, when I deal with what I have to deal with, I'll be straight back at it. And yeah, I'm loving these videos because it's, you know, it's great.
Now, you'll be back at it, what, about mid-April? So
mid-April. I'll be back at it.
Yeah, we'll chat again in mid-April, I guess, will we?
We might get one in before then.
All righty, you might see him before he has to head off. But ladies and gentlemen, please, a big virtual thank you to Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Always love the humour, Kerry.